Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
But the gifting is different. It's not a talent and it's not a skill. It's a supernatural gift where you suddenly, as a believer, have the ability to be able to teach because you have the gift of teaching. Or you suddenly have the ability to be merciful because maybe before you weren't so merciful, but now you are.
Teamwork makes the dream work, right? Well, when it comes to the family of God, that teamwork is driven by supernatural gifts given to us by God to bless and serve others in the body of Christ and to further His kingdom. Today on Practical Christian Living, we are looking at spiritual gifts, how they're given, and what we're to do with them. We're in Romans 12, verses 4 through 8. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
God is like us in a way. You know, we've been created in the image of God, and God is like us in that we like to give gifts to our children. I have adult children, and I like to give them gifts. I like to give gifts to my grandchildren. Not as much as my wife likes to give gifts to the grandkids, by the way. She seems to go, you know, she has gifts for them all the time. But I love to give gifts to my kids and my grandkids. God also loves to give gifts to His children. We're His kids. He's our heavenly Father. And He has given us, first of all, the gift of the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm leaving you, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send another helper, the Holy Spirit. And He possesses us. If you are born again, if you've really made a commitment to Christ, if you've invited Him in and you're living for Him, then the Holy Spirit is inside of you. And there's not a person here that is born again that doesn't have the Spirit of God living inside of them. That is, you are, as I said again, possessed. You may have been accused of being possessed at other times. This is in a different way. Whereas a demonic spirit might possess you, and you would, if you're a non-believer, and it would be intrusive, and it would be overbearing. Where the Spirit of God comes upon us with all gentleness, he's like a wind that blows through a room and is able to influence us. So the Holy Spirit influences us like a wind, like a rushing wind. Says when they were filled with the Spirit that there was tongues of fire and a rushing wind. And God's Spirit, well, the fruit of the Spirit is evident in the life of someone that has the Spirit in them. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are what comes out of our lives when the Spirit is inside of us. Well, not only do you have the Holy Spirit given to you, but when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, He brings you gifts. And those gifts are different for different people. And they operate in different ways and in different places. But what we do know is that every one of you here who is a genuine believer has a gift of the Spirit. At least, maybe more than one. You might not know what gift the Holy Spirit has given you, but you have one. It says in 1 Peter chapter 4, as each one of you has received a gift, minister or serve each other with that gift. We are given the gift that we would help others within the church to be able to see their call, their function, their position effective. And when we talk about the church, we're not just talking about this service. We're talking about all the services for Calvary, but we're also talking more than that. We're talking about all of the churches that are genuine in the city of Tucson and around the world. We are all the body of Christ, and we all have been given gifts to help one another. That's the way that God wants the church to work. I should see myself as helping you, and you should see yourself as helping me. We should never see ourselves as people ought to get alongside of what I'm doing. We are ministering our gifts to one another. Now, the gift of the Holy Spirit is something supernaturally given to you. It is not a talent you are born with. Some of you guys are born with incredible talent. You can play an instrument. You've never even taken any lessons. You just sat down in front of a piano and started playing it, or a guitar, or you sing. and you just sing right on key, and it's beautiful. I have a talent to be able to draw. I'm artistic. When I was in junior high, the only class I got an A in was art class. And that was because I kind of had a talent for it. Now, I'm colorblind as well, so I could never really paint because it was more abstract. Whoa, that's really weird colors. But there's a talents that you have, and that's a gifting in God in a way, right? Because we're born and we have talents. Some of you guys are talented athletically. Some of you guys are talented academically. Some of you guys are talented musically. We could go on and just list different ways in which we have talents, but that's not the gift of God. But we do want our talents to be used by God. We want to give God everything we are, and part of what we are is our talents. So we give him our talents and say, Lord, use them. And we are ministered to on a regular basis by our worship team who have gifts of the Spirit, but also talents. They're able to lead us into worship before God, and we thank God for them. There are also skills, and skills are not talents and they're not gifts. A skill set is something that you've worked on for a while. If you've worked at your job for 10 years and you are not skilled at it, time to get another job. I would say you don't have an aptitude for it if you're not skilled at it. I like to find out what people in the church do and how long they've been doing it, because I realize that there is a world that they live in where they are an expert in, for most people. They've gotten their little niche of what they do to be able to make money, to be able to live, and hopefully they enjoy it, and they have become an expert in that area. You guys remember a football player by the name of Steve Largent? He was a wide receiver for the Seattle Seahawks. Realize I'm giving away my age when I use him as an example. But Steve Largent was an incredibly talented and skilled receiver. He said near the end of his career, and his career, by the way, was a super lengthy career. He outlasted many people in the NFL. And he said near the end of his career, every year I have younger, faster, more talented guys that come in to take my job, but they can't take it away from me because I am skilled. He had honed his craft as a wide receiver so well that he had an advantage over younger, more athletic, stronger, faster players. And so they couldn't take his job from him because of the skill set that he had. And we want our skills to be used by God. When we got something going on here at the church, I remember when we were hanging drywall in the other sanctuary. And in a lot of our building projects, we did the work as a body, because it was just so much cheaper for us to go, we're having a work night, let's all show up. We're going to be hanging drywall. And so I'm there and working. I got there in the afternoon, and I've hung like two pieces of drywall. And my drywall looks pretty pathetic because there's holes in it where I've missed the studs that you're supposed to be drilling into. I've also tried to balance it on top of my head, hold it up while I'm trying to find it to do. And one of the guys at the church had a drywall company. And so he went to all of his guys and said, hey guys, I want to let you off today a little early, but let's go over to the church and give them a couple of hours. Let's just go give a couple hours of our time to the church. So his whole crew showed up. They started slapping up drywall. Dust was flying everywhere. They were slicing and folding and snapping and drilling. And I was thinking, we just need to hire these guys. I'm sick of hanging drywall. I work for 2 hours, hang two pieces, and they're pathetic looking. And these guys come in here and they just went, and you guys know what that's like, right? Because you're skilled, and we want to take our skill and give it to God. And if ever there's an opportunity where we're doing something that your skill is available, you would come and do it, rejoicing in doing it. Hey, I'd love to come and do that and be skilled and help the church out in what we're doing. But the gifting is different. It's not a talent and it's not a skill. It's a supernatural gift where you suddenly, as a believer, have the ability to be able to teach because you have the gift of teaching. Or you suddenly have the ability to be merciful because maybe before you weren't so merciful, but now you are. Or suddenly you have an ability to be able to administrate, organize. You didn't really have that ability before, but now you have the gift of administration. Or suddenly out of the blue, you haven't really been a leader all your life, but suddenly you have the gift of leadership. And you find that as you go out and begin to do things, that people follow you because the gift of leadership inspires people to come alongside of what you're doing and do it. These are the supernatural gifts that God gives us to do, and they're given to each one of us. Now look at what it says about these supernatural gifts. Oh, by the way, let's just talk for a moment before we get into the text. I'm just a touch ahead of myself. Let's talk about how you can identify your gift. Because if I said there are tests that are out there that you can take to identify what your gifts are, I say respectfully, because I like some of the organizations that have put these together, I like some of the pastors that have put these together, respectfully, they're whack. It might be able to give you a general idea of where your gifts lie, but you look at those and you read them, it's like personality, you know, kind of things that you fill out. I just don't put much trust in those. I think that if you're going to find out what gift that you're going to use, you kind of got to find out what position or function you have in the body first. What are you going to do as God uses you in the church? Where are you going to work at? You say, well, I don't know. I don't know where to start. Well, I'll encourage you to start where you're interested. If there's something, you know, in our bulletin, I got two bulletins this week. Did you guys get that in your email? There's one right after another. I thought, boy, they really want us to see this bulletin. They're sending it out twice. In the bulletin, there's a list of things we need, you know, places we need people to help at. Look over it. See if it's not something you could help with. See what you're interested in. I went to go see Elizabeth Elliot many years ago now. She was had come to Tucson and was speaking at Casa Sadobe's church on being used by God. Elizabeth Elliot is the woman whose husband Jim Elliot was killed by natives, and then she went back and ministered to that very village that killed her husband, and they got saved. The whole village got saved because she went back and ministered to those people. That gave her kind of a place to speak into my life, in my opinion. And one thing she said was, if you don't know where God's going to use you at, a car might be parked in the wrong direction, but you're never going to get going the right direction until you start moving it. Once you start moving it, you can turn the wheel and you can turn the car in the way you want to go. It might be pointed in the completely wrong direction. You say, I don't know where to go. Well, just start going. And God is able to steer you. If you say, you know, I think I want to be a Sunday school teacher, and you go over and you start teaching the Sunday school class, but you're miserable and the kids are miserable, and you realize, maybe I didn't really go in the right direction here, then you can give them some time. Don't quit today, but give them some time and go and find something that you really enjoy to do within the church. And your gifts will flow out of that. The best example I've heard of that was by John Corson. He said, what if during the service today I needed a drink of water and I asked somebody to bring me one? And a little boy came running down the stairs here, down to bring me the water. And right when he got down here to the bottom, he tripped, he fell, the glass broke, water went everywhere. We would be able to tell the gifts of the people that are around it by what they do. The people with the gift of mercy would jump up and pick him on the ground. Oh, I'm so sorry that happened to you. Don't worry about all these people here. Are you okay? That's the gift of mercy. The person with the gift of helps would say, where's the broom? Somebody needs to clean up. Somebody's going to get cut. That needs to be cleaned up. They'd go out and get the broom and they'd sweep them up. The person with the gift of giving would go, I'm going to go buy a bunch of glasses. We need them here. They're breaking. I'm going to go buy a bunch and bring them down here. And the way that the guy with the gift of teaching would say, now, son, when you're bringing water to the pulpit, don't run, but walk carefully and look where you're going and hold the water with both hands and so on and so forth. It would be evident what your gift is in a matter of time. You would be able to figure it out. I want to read you a list. I got my phone here because I forgot my notes today, which is one of the reasons I had to backtrack a little bit earlier. But I want to read you, if I can find where it's at, a list of the gifts of the Spirit. There's three different places they're given. They're not inclusive. There's not in one place you find all the gifts listed. And for that reason, we believe that there are other gifts as well that might not be in one of these lists, that God never meant to sweepingly cover all of them. But I want to read them to you, and I just want you to listen to them. There's a lot of them, so you're not going to be able to write them down. But just listen to them and see if any of these gifts stand out to you. There is the gift of prophecy, gift of serving, gift of teaching, gift of exhortation, gift of giving, the gift of leadership, the gift of mercy. There's the gift of the words of wisdom, the gift of the words of knowledge, the gift of faith, gifts of healings, miracles, discernment. That's a good gift to have, the gift of discernment. Tongues, which is what everybody thinks of, interpretation of tongues, the gift of an apostle. There were the apostles and there were other apostles that were not part of the 12 apostles. The gift of helps, the gift of administration or organization, the gift of evangelism, and the gift of pastoring. Now, that's just a general idea. I tried not to double up the gifts because you find them in several places doubling up of what those gifts are. Now, let's take a look at what Paul says as he writes to them about being gifted to be able to do the work that God's called them to do, to live as they're supposed to live. After encouraging them to give their lives, which, by the way, see, if I had my notes, I would have already covered this. How is it you receive the gifts? Some people believe that you got to be super spiritual to receive them, or you got to be super mature. But the church at Corinth, they came behind in none of the gifts, and yet Paul said, I wish I could talk to you as the spiritual people, but you're not, you're carnal. So the gifts are given by God's grace, and I believe they're given, number one, when you have things right between you and God. When you say, Lord, I'm here, things are right. Some of you guys here today don't have things right with him. You've got unconfessed, unrepented sin. You've just slipped into a mindset you need to take care of. Get things right between you and God. And number two, you're willing to be used. You present yourself to God. Okay, God, I'm here. I'm yours. And then I believe that God gives us these gifts. So what does he say about the gifts, first of all? He tells us a couple things before he gets into what they are. He says in verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. Well, that makes sense to us, doesn't it? There's a lot of us in here, but we don't all have the same function, and we all have different talents and skills and gifts. And then it says, so we, being many, are one body, and yet we're one. God is doing something through us as the church, and again, not just this church, but through all of the church. We are one in Christ. He is the head, and you and I are the body. He is the vine, and you are the branch. Is. And it says, and individual members of one another. So we're each individuals, but we're individual members of one another. There are no Lone Ranger Christians. You don't wear a little mask and say, hi-ho, silver, and away, and go do it on your own. We are together as a team, and we are individuals of one body, members together, having then gifts differing according to the grace. The gift of administration may look different in one of your lives than it does in another one. The gift of teaching may look different with a Sunday school teacher or someone who teaches a home Bible study or someone who teaches at a high school in the afternoon. They're the same gift, but they look differently and operate differently among different people. And we get them by the grace of God. It's by God's grace that these gifts are coming. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Let me read through the gifts he's got listed here. We'll come back and take them one at a time. Or ministry, let us use them in ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, in liberty. He who leads, in diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. And so we'll start with the gift of prophecy. This is the one that I've been tempted all day to spend the most time on, and I'm going to try to wrap it up a little bit quicker in this study so we can spend some time on the other stuff. Prophecy is not only telling the future. When you study the prophets in the Old Testament, we're just getting ready to start Joel on Wednesday night. We're going to talk about the prophets and how God used them and what the pattern of the prophets are. But prophets sometimes spoke about the future, but not as much as they spoke about other things. It's done a lot, but basically a prophet was someone who spoke for God. And that can take up a lot of different ways. It could be someone teaching. It could be a Sunday school teacher. It could be someone that's together with a group of people and praying, and God could give them a word to share with them. Prophecy is speaking for God. Prophecy is also one of the scariest of all of the gifts of the Spirit to have. Why? Because you're speaking for God. And the last thing that you want to do is say that God says something when God doesn't say it. I don't want to speak for God if I'm not sure that God doesn't want to say that. That's a scary thing. Prophecy is also one of those gifts that people use where they go and say, "The Lord told me to tell you." And the Bible says don't despise prophecy, because it's easy to despise a gift where people come up and say, "God told me to tell you." I always want to respond in a little bit like a smart aleck. Well, God's got my phone number too. So God could tell me as easily as he told you. Why didn't you just bypass you and tell me? Who knows why God would do that, but maybe for some humbling reasons, who knows? But also, you want to make sure that you approach with humility. Everything we do with humility. So years ago, we had a pastor's conference here. We have one every March, and we had, I don't know what it was, 10, 12 years ago. I had a guy come up to me after one of the sessions and say, "Can I talk to you in private?" I said, "Sure." So we went into the little green room area, and he gave me a prophecy. "The Lord told me to tell you." Then he told me some horrible thing that was going to happen to me. And I said, "I don't receive that." You see, the Bible says, let one prophesy and let the others judge. And so I judged it maybe a little too quickly that it wasn't true. It wasn't true because it didn't come to pass, by the way. Told me it was going to happen within a year. It didn't happen. But I wasn't going to live under that shadow of what he said. And so I immediately said, "Well, why don't you stay here for a minute?" I went and got his pastor. His pastor was at the conference. And I said, "Come here. I'm the guy that you brought." And so I said, "Well, go ahead and tell him what you told me." And he said, "Well, God told me to tell him that this was going to happen to him in the next year." And then his pastor said, "Well, what if you're wrong?" And the guy says, "I'm never wrong." Can you believe it? That anybody would say that? That anybody would say, "I am never wrong"? I wanted to say, "Let's go ask your wife. Let's see how often you're wrong." Well, even in the context of prophecy, have you ever thought God spoke to you when he didn't? I had a friend when I was younger who claimed a girl in the name of Jesus. He believed that God had spoken that he was supposed to marry this girl, and he claimed her in the name of Jesus. By the way, guys, that's not a good way to get a wife. "I claim you in the name of Jesus. You are mine." And she says, 911? "Yes, can you please?" He believed that God told him that he was going to marry her so much that he thought God was going to stop it when she was walking down the aisle to marry someone else, and was devastated when she married the other guy. He believed it so much, but he was wrong. He was confident, but he was wrong.
We hope you've been blessed, encouraged, and edified by what you've heard here on Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Chapel here in Tucson, Arizona. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings of weekly services at Calvary Tucson and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. If you live in the Tucson area or you're ever visiting our community, we'd love for you to stop by one of our two campuses in East and Southwest Tucson. You can find service times online at calvarytucson.com. We'd love to have you visit for Bible study, drop into our Solid Ground coffee shop and bookstore, or take a minute to look through our Mission Thrift Store located at our West Campus, which benefits our various missions projects. Have you accepted Jesus into your life or have questions about salvation? email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. That's S-A-V-E-D at calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. And we want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9. May you walk in the grace and peace of Jesus today.